more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. We want to welcome you to the Refresh radio program here today on 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. That would be WMIE. At 10:30, you could catch us at WWBC 1510 AM. And depending on where you are in the county, there's several other frequencies on the FM dial that you can find this rebroadcast at 10:30 of a morning. But today, I just want to take this opportunity to invite you out to Merit Assembly of God. We would love to have you come and worship with us. Next week, we've got a men's conference that we're going to be going to. We got several of our men that are going. Never been to this church before. Actually, I've never even been to that city before. I think I've driven by it or driven close to it, but never really stayed there. So it's going to be something new for me. We like to invest in the people of Merit Assembly of God because the Christians in Brevard County need to be the best equipped as we can help them to become, because men's and women's souls, boys and girls' souls, are in the throes of eternity. We need to reach them during the opportunity that we have. And so we want to reach families as early as possible, and we want to make sure that we don't provide any unnecessary obstacles through ungodly behavior. We want to provide them great opportunities through godly behavior to say whatever's going on in their life, we want going on in our life. And so if you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing at Merit Assembly of God. Today we're going to return to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verse number 22. Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 22. We covered a few of these verses yesterday, and we will cover a few more today. Verse number 22 says, "For I will rise up against them, says the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and offspring and posterity, says the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the porcupine, and marshes of muddy water I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so it shall stand." So yesterday we concluded with this verse, "Surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass," and the importance of what God thinks about it. God says, "I know," over in Jeremiah chapter 29, "I know the thoughts that I think about you." Let me take you over there so I can read that verse to you. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 10, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, and caused you to return to this place, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, thoughts to give you a future and a hope." I inserted the word thoughts there. "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." So God says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, and they are good thoughts. They are thoughts of peace, of wholesomeness and wholeness in every area of your life. They are good thoughts. They are holy thoughts. They are not evil thoughts. They are thoughts about a future and thoughts about hope." Okay? I want to give you a future and a hope that you will call upon me, you will pray to me, you will seek me, and you will find me. I will be found by you. God thinks about you a lot. You are part of his plan before he ever created planet Earth. Now, the devil's entire strategy has been to try and short-circuit God's plan. And he does not have the same omniscience that God does. God knows everything. He orders your steps. He directs your path. He lights up your pathway. You're not walking in the dark. You're walking by faith. Walking by faith is not walking without illumination. It is walking in the trust that the God you are journeying with knows what he is doing. So I don't have to have complete and total understanding. If God says do something, then I need to do it. So he says, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. So you and I, it would be in our best interest to look to the Word of God and see what God has been thinking about. He's been thinking about, since before the foundation of the world, before sin ever existed, he's been thinking about redeeming mankind. He's thinking of you right now about preparing a place for you in eternity, that where he is, there you will be also. He's been thinking about giving you hope, a confident expectation, about giving you a future, about giving you a plan to seek him so that you can find him. He's been thinking about destroying the wickedness that has prevailed in this world. He's been thinking about eliminating that for a long time. And you got to know, it's going to come to pass. We'll talk about that more in a future broadcast. But wickedness, evil, is on a destruction course. It's going to have a face-to-face encounter with the Almighty God. And I can tell you who's going to come out victorious, and it's not the devil. God is going to come out victorious. So God has a thought, and he says, it shall come to pass. He says, and as I have purposed, so it shall stand. Along with those thoughts, there is a purpose. God is not up there winging it. I've told you how I came to Merit Assembly of God. For a year, I kept encountering this same verse. It was in the Living Bible and a little devotional that I had, and it was worded something like this. I'm going, and the God of all glory will himself come and pick you up and place you where he wants you, and cause you to be established and prosper after you have suffered a little while. And I kept encountering that same verse. And, you know, the Bible's a healthy book. It's not tiny. And yet this verse kept coming up in my devotions. And I was like, God, what are you saying? He said, I called you to be a pastor, and I'm going to do this. And we'd been praying and saying, are we done here? And he would say no. And so on the one hand, he's saying, no, you got to stay. On the other hand, we're hearing him say, I'm going to make you a senior pastor. And it's like, how do you make those two statements come in line? You know, you stay, but I'm going to move you. And what happened was, we stayed, And one day I went to prayer meeting and got a message that said, the district wants you to call their office. And so I called their office and they said, we want you to go and pastor Merit Assembly of God. Well, it's one thing for God to tell you that he's going to place you as a pastor. It's another to be told by the district that they want you to go and pastor a church that you didn't even know existed. I'd been living in Brevard County for 3 years, didn't even know Merit Assembly of God had been around since 1952. Didn't even know about it. I pray that that is not our present reality. There's still too much of Brevard County that doesn't know we exist. We want to touch every home with the love of Jesus Christ. That's one of our goals. We want to be a blessing to all the families of Brevard County and around the world. We want to bless them with a relationship with Jesus. We want to be a blessing. That's our ultimate reason for existence. But God has a purpose. He not only thinks it's not only going to come to pass, but God has a purpose. So one of the questions that you could ask yourself is, what is God's purpose for my life? As a family, what is God's purpose for our family? I don't just believe it is a once in a while purpose. I believe that it is a purpose for every step that we take. And if we're sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, it can be purpose for every word that we say. So I've been very open with you. We believe that there's purpose in the jobs that we've had. We believe that there has been purpose in the cars. You know, my children, they like to pray about major decisions that other people just make flippantly, and we say, God, what is your purpose? What's your purpose here? And so last year about this time, my wife was facing surgery, but we did not know when that surgery was going to happen. We had just found out about 6 weeks earlier than a year ago that we thought the plan was for a family member to come and live with us, and that we were going to be providing care for them, and that we were going to need a new house because the current configuration in our house wouldn't work. And so my wife and I had met with the surgeon, and the timetable was still up in the air. And so after meeting with the surgeon, I came home and I said, God, what is your purpose? What is your purpose? And I want you to know, I wasn't praying in my prayer closet. I wasn't praying in the church. I was praying while I was mowing the grass. Okay, here's a great, you know, unrealized secret. You can pray whatever you're doing. You can wash the dishes and pray. You can be taking a test in school and be praying. You can be on the job and you can be praying. I've done all of those things. And while I was mowing the grass, God was mowing the grass with me. And he was speaking to me. And he said, you need to realize that I have a purpose in this. And so Isaiah 14:24, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so it shall stand. So it's not the devil's purpose in your life that should prevail. It should be God's purpose in your life. And so we should do a lot less fighting against the thoughts of God and the purposes of God and the plans of God. We should do a lot more cooperating with his purpose and his plan, because that is what is going to stand. And we'll talk a little bit more about why that stands here in future broadcast. So today I'd like to look at this verse just a little bit more from a different perspective and say, if God is thinking about you, who are you thinking about? I'm going to let you in on a little pastoral observation secret that I've got, but don't tell anybody, okay? Most Christians think almost as selfishly as unchristians do. What I mean by that is this: they think about their family getting saved, but not a lot of us spend a whole lot of time thinking about people beyond our family or our closest circle of friends. If you remember, the scripture says that God loved us while we were at enmity with him, while we were fighting against him at every turn. God was still thinking about how he was going to bring salvation into our life. So what does that look like? What does a Christian who thinks primarily about their own self or their own family or their own interest, what does that look like? Well, it looks like, well, that's my seat. I sit in that seat every week. Nobody else is entitled. I literally fell over, wanted to fall over when a friend of mine posted several years ago that they had heard those words come out of somebody's mouth at church. Can I encourage you to make room for unbelievers in the house of God? Make room for them. You know where they're already nervous about coming to church. Already nervous. So I've had people tell me, Pastor, if I came to your church, the ceiling would fall in. I want to tell them, look, we've had roofers inspect our roof, and it's structurally sound. It's not caving in on you. You know, so when I come to church, I have a reserved parking spot. It is the farthest parking spot away. I make room for people who have mobility issues. I also want to make room for people who are just coming to Merit Assembly of God for the very first time. And so there are people who, when they come to church, they're not looking for it to be a challenge. They're looking for it to be as convenient for them as possible because they're already nervous. When I showed up at Merit Assembly of God that very first day, I didn't know who I was going to find. I didn't know what I was going to find. And so I needed to be thinking. So I'd been thinking about the service. What do? I don't have musicians. And so we thought, and guess what? I came to realize that the songs that we had been singing weren't the songs that that congregation had been singing. And so I needed to build a bridge to where they were so we could get into the presence of God. And that's pretty challenging when You know, you don't have any musical ability. I play a CD player, and that's about it. I can play a computer, and you know, my wife could. I mean, she knows how to do the iPhone music and all that sort of stuff. I'm not quite there on that aspect of technology yet. So, what do you think about? Do you think about reaching coworkers? Do you think about others? Because God thinks. Now, here's the thing. What you think about, where your thought life dwells, that is indicative of what your future is going to look like. So if you start thinking, look, I am just so miserable in this relationship. I'm so miserable at this job. I'm just so miserable with this circumstance, or you start thinking about those things, and it has a way of setting the course of your life where your life matches up with the things that you think. So I would highly encourage you to align your thought life with God's thought life, so that the future that comes into being isn't one of discouragement, depression, and hopelessness, but instead it would be an intentional, blessed, and enjoyable journey. So think about the things that you do. So first week that we were at Merit Assembly of God, there's my wife, two kids, and me. The first week there were six other people. The next week there were five other people. The next week there were four other people. And that was Christmas, let's see. Yeah, the third one was Christmas Sunday. I think it was December the 26th, I think. It was like the day after Christmas. And after that, I remember praying that week. Is God, I feel like I have been thrust into the cockpit of an airplane that is in a nosedive. And I don't know how to pull it out. God, what is your plan? And it also included this line. God, in four more weeks on this pace, on this trajectory, it is just going to be my wife and kids and me, and I'm not sure how long they'll hang in there. God, we need to know what your plan is. And God spoke to me, and he said, this is what you need to work on. And as a result of that, it wasn't what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear something else, but God said, this is one of the problems. This is one of the problems. Do you know that there the two most important rooms when it comes to families visiting your church, do you know that families are not as interested in doctrine? They're not as interested in programs. When they come to church, they want to know these two things. What does the ladies' room look like? And what does the nursery look like? And that's been something that has gone on for a while. It's not just in America. The church that we have, that we helped in Mexico last year, they've had people that since the restrooms were built have started coming to church because the restrooms are nice, and they actually sense the presence of God in the restrooms. That's the testimony that we've heard. They just feel safe. They feel blessed to be able to gather together in those situations. So what do you think of? Because what you think about has a way of coming to pass. If you think that everybody hates you, everyone's going to hate you. But if you think that God is for you, that God is working on your behalf and he's got a purpose, he said it's going to stand. So the second thing is this, what is your purpose? Okay, what the first part, what do you think about? And the second thing is, what do you think God's purpose for your life is? Because I will tell you that knowing that purpose will keep you on the path that God has for you, because in that path, in that purpose, you are going to be able to stand. Okay? When you know that God has placed you for a divine purpose, then you're not going to allow discouragement or depression or hardship to move you off of that plan. I was sharing with someone here a few weeks ago and was telling them about a situation in our life where it was a very difficult season, but we did not shift off of that until we heard God say, now's the time. Now's the time for transition. And when that happened, that meant that all of the seeds, all of the words of testimony, all of the words of scripture that had been shared, all of the seed had been sown, and God was saying, now it is time for me to do my work. And I'm happy to report that that person, we didn't know what the purpose was per se, but we did know that that it was to impact people's lives. And people got saved as a result of living that season under the purpose of God. A friend of mine recently said, hey, I wanted to call you because I was sharing a story about you. And I just wanted to call and check and see how you were doing. I said, well, what story did you share? And he said, well, when you introduced me one time to your church, you said that we had invested in your youth ministry. And he said, and I realized that the holes that we had, or the wells we had dug, we didn't realize that one day we were going to be drinking from those wells. He said, we sowed seed, but we realize now that there was a blessing, a future blessing in it for us. You want to know what God's purpose is. You want to know what he thinks, because you want to be able to stand no matter what this world has to bring. We'll see you next time right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.